Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, or whenever you decide to tune in and listen to this. If it's morning, then you probably know that these verse-by-verse Bible teachings come to you on WMCH 1260 AM radio in the Churchill area. You can find us Monday through Friday at 8:30 AM. And then that's where we do our verse-by-verse Bible teaching here on the radio. Well, who is we, you might be asking. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we are the owners and operators of the Wash 'Em Word Hand Car Wash, located in Churchill, Tennessee, on Highway 11W. You can find us there in the Powell Shopping Center, and we've opened up this business as an unorthodox way of getting God's Word into the public ear outside of the four walls of the church. And we do this several ways. One, the radio program that you're either listening to now or that I just mentioned. Another way is to come into the Wash 'Em Word parking lot, and anywhere in the area here, we have a small radio transmitter that transmits all five of the verse-by-verse Bible teachings that we play on the radio, and they transmit into the parking lot. So all you got to do is turn your car radio to 107.1 FM if you're in the parking lot. Maybe you're over by the gym or at the medical center, or you're just out in the parking lot waiting for your wife to finish shopping at the antique store, whatever it is, having your pals dinner. Tune to 107.1 FM and hear relevant, powerful verse-by-verse Bible teaching. How can I claim that this teaching that I'm doing is relevant and powerful? Because I am, at the very best of my ability, taking the very best of my ability out of the equation and allowing the Lord to speak through the Holy Spirit. And this is why we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, because we know that the entire counsel of God's Word is not only important in raising up the body of believers that may be listening, but it's important for those who are yet to come into the faith. You see, it's God's entire counsel that the world needs to hear. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, everything in God's Word is pertinent and important, and it applies to life as much as it did when it was written as it does today. So that is why we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching. And if you have missed any of our sermons, for instance, we're currently in book of 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 7. We spent three of the last messages dealing with verses 1 through 7 in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. But if you missed any of those, you can go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. There you can find out all that you need to find out about the business and about the ministry. And there you can also download and listen to all of our archive messages for free. And we encourage you to share those as well. All right, so let's get back into it. We are again in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and Paul has moved on from the sexual immorality teachings, which are very prevalent for this church. And that's what makes 1 Corinthians such a good book in today's society, because if you know, if you're real with yourself, you realize that sexual immorality is an ever-present problem in our culture, in our society, and, dare I say it, in your life. So we need parameters. We need guidance and guidelines that take the Word of God, that take what God has created, and make it into something that gives Him glory, gives Him honor. And so God has created a sexual urge within human beings, men especially, and He has done this for a very specific purpose. Two, actually. One is the obvious reason for procreation. Without a sexual drive, mankind would not do what God commanded originally, and that was to go forth and multiply. But the other reason is God has designed that powerful sexual influence in our lives for enjoyment. God has set it up that way so that we could enjoy one of the greatest pleasures of the physical realm. I mean, let's just be honest. We're all adults here, and if you're not an adult, you will be one day, and this is going to apply to you then. But the point is, sex was meant to procreate and to enjoy a great feeling God has given for us to explore. The problem is that we have explored it in all the wrong avenues. And that's where Paul is picking it up in verse 7. He's returning to the original covenant that was given in the Garden of Eden. And that was the covenant of marriage, that a man shall cleave and cling unto his wife. And this was designed so that the two could share and experience each other in a way that is well beyond the physical. When two people have come together under the guidance and the authority of God, then we experience a physical attraction and pleasure. We experience a spiritual pleasure. We experience an emotional pleasure. All of these things God has put into and under, that's the important thing, the covenant of marriage. And so Paul has addressed that in the last three messages. And man, again, you can go to washandword.com if you want to hear them. But he picks it up now in verse 8, and he's going to gear the teaching a little bit towards a different group of people. And in verse 8, he says, "Now to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried, as I am. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion." We'll stop there for just a moment, because here's the important thing that Paul is saying here. He's saying that being single, first of all, isn't for everybody, but it is for some people. And some people are single by choice. Some are single by circumstance. And of course, when he mentions widows, that's what he's referring to. And of course, there are some, you know, men or women out there that just haven't found the right guy or the right girl, and hopefully they're waiting for God to do that. But sometimes that's a long wait. And so you're single and you remain single. But what Paul's talking about here is a life of singularity. That is to say that we have set aside what we desire for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of doing the Lord's work. But he says, if you can't control yourselves, then you should go ahead and get married. And that, this is a teaching that's geared towards a really not a large group of people. But there are some who have been called to a life of being single. And I'll tell you an interesting story. When I was married for 9 years once before, and you know, I was an unbeliever when I got married, but I found the Lord, and through a series of unfortunate circumstances, all biblical, I was unable to save the marriage to the unbelieving spouse. And actually, Paul will pick that up in the, later on. But the point is, when I underwent that divorce and that separation, there was a period of life that for about a year and a half that I clung to God with every single ounce and fiber of my being. And I realized something during that period, that God will never forsake you. And during the most painful time of my life, I had two children at the time, and you know, they were going through this as well. And God comforted me. He reassured me. He eventually brought in the most beautiful, perfect match that I ever could have imagined in my wife, Victoria. We have a beautiful son, and God just restores all things. But the point I want to make on this sharing is that there was a point there while I was going through the divorce, before I had met my wife, my current wife, Victoria. I remember one night in my apartment, I was separated from my family, and I prayed with all of my heart, and I meant it. And God knows your heart, so He knows if you meant it or not. And I said, "Lord, you have been faithful to me for the last year and a half, and you have been all that I've needed, and I will follow you alone, and be single for the rest of my life, if that's what you want me to do." And I meant it. I was ready to go the rest of my life with nothing but serving God with all of my fiber and all of my being. And do you want to know what God did with that prayer? It wasn't a week later that I met and got introduced to my wife, Victoria. And, you know, God is just, He's beyond words when it comes to His goodness. But Paul's addressing these people who, sometimes widows never get remarried, and they do it by choice. Some men or women decide they're not going to get married because they want to carry out a life. But he says, look, that's fine. That's good. Paul was like that. But if you're going to burn with passion, if lust is going to overtake you, it is better to get married. And so he shifts now a little bit to the married. In verse 10, he goes, "To the married I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband. But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And a husband must not divorce his wife. To the rest I say this, I, that is, not the Lord, if any brother has a wife who is not a believer, and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her." Let's stop right there, because this is a common hang-up when it comes to being unequally yoked. And a lot of times, one spouse will get saved. First of all, if you're saved, you should never marry an unbeliever, ever. This teaching is almost exclusively towards one getting saved inside of the marriage. And not always do they both get saved at the same time. And that becomes a very difficult relationship when only one spouse is saved and the other one wants nothing to do with it. But Paul gives specific instructions. If the unbelieving spouse will stay with you, you know, essentially will tolerate your newfound faith, and they won't move out, then you are to stay with that person and continue to witness to them. But Paul says if they move out, if they leave you, you are now free from that marriage. And that's what happened with me. It was a very biblically based divorce. And I say that in a way, I know God hates divorce, but sometimes he allows things to happen for a greater purpose. And there was nothing good that came out of that divorce except for my wife and my son, because it hurt my other two kids. And anyway, this isn't about me. It's about what God is allowing here. And Paul says that sometimes it's okay for that spouse to move away. They don't have to. Even if the spouse moves out, there's still reconciliation. God always desires reconciliation over separation, always. But there has to be parameters in place, because it's a fallen nature, and we do things that create life situations that need guidance. Now, also remember, Paul says this. He says, I, not the Lord, give this command. So again, this leaves some room for the possibility that this may not be something that everybody can adhere to in terms of leaving the unbelieving spouse who has left. Because he goes on to say in verse 14, for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through the believing husband. Otherwise, your children will be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. So he's saying that as long as you are together in the same roof, and as long as you're willing to stay together, even if you're unequally yoked, you are benefiting the children, and you are also allowing the hope and the chance that this unbelieving spouse will come into the faith. So it's always better to seek towards reconciliation than it is to seek separation. And then in verse 15, Paul says, but again, if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Now let's stop right there. You know, I alluded to the fact that Paul wrote in parentheses in verse 12, he says, to the rest I say this, and then in parentheses he writes, I, not the Lord. And so we think to ourselves, well, this is just the opinion of one man. Well, that may be true, but it's also in the Bible. It wouldn't have made God's canon of Scripture if it wasn't something God had ordained through the Holy Spirit to be written down for all of time. So again, I think there's an allowance there. Maybe I'm a little biased because I had fallen into this bracket, but the point has to be first and foremost reconciliation and staying together for the sake of the children, for the sake of the marriage, for the sake of the soul that may one time prayerfully come unto the understanding of grace and of faith. And again, there are some unequally yoked marriages where there's such strife. The husband or the wife who's not a believer might not leave, might remain there, but there's fighting and there's bickering and there's yelling and maybe there's physical altercations. And all the while, there may be young children subject to all of this that is going on, all in the name of sticking to the word and trying to make things work. Listen, God will take care of the children, but as the believing spouse, you have a responsibility to answer the confrontations in a loving and compassionate way. Problem is, many times the two want to prove their own points, and that's when it becomes a problem. So elsewhere in God's word, it says to answer wrath with a gentle answer. And that is what you, the unbelieving spouse, must do. It's a hard teaching, and it's a much harder way to live. But God says there is always going to be hope in situations like that. So I hope if you're in any of that situation today, if that describes your life as it is, that you'll stand firm, hold on to God's word, and whatever you do, don't let go of his truths. Well, once again, this is Matthew Monona coming to you from the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash. Come on by the Hand Car Wash in Church Hill in the Palace Shopping Center on Highway 11W. Let us know you're hearing these teachings, and just come on by and let us work to earn the money to keep this ministry alive. Have a blessed day.